glad I'm here tonight. I appreciate the good day that the Lord gave us. I appreciate the privilege to be in and around the presence of God. I really do. We've been honored this day that He'd meet with us like He has, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that some of my church is here tonight. This is what I've been telling them about, and I've really been bragging on this meeting how good it is, how much help I get, and I'm glad they've got in on a little bit of that. And I have no doubt it's going to get in their heart and they'll want to come back. I'm thankful for that. I called home today, talked to my wife a little bit, and she said, "What about the service?" And I said, "Oh, it's just wonderful." I said, "Brother Milvin," she said, "No, he didn't." I said, "Yeah." She said, "He got you up around the altar, didn't he?" She said, "I love getting around that altar and singing, 'I'd rather have Jesus.'" I said, "Honey, Lord, come by and help us." She said, "I won't miss another one, Lord willing." Amen. Appreciate a God in heaven that'd be concerned about me. Thank God for times like these. I really appreciate the Lord. I got something on my heart tonight and I want to try. And I'll just take my time for a few minutes. And if it turns into preaching, that'll be all right. If He just wants me to testify a little bit, that'll be all right too. I'm just glad I'm here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'll read one verse. Verse number 14. "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Father in heaven, Lord, I love you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for loving me. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for being so good and so kind to me. Lord, I appreciate you, God, tonight allowing me to experience this day. Thank you, Lord, for pulling up close to me this morning, spending the day with me. I thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. Lord, I'm unworthy, Lord, but I thank you, God, for loving me, counting me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Lord, I appreciate that. And, Lord, I ask you, God, now to help me and touch me. Lord, and may God, for just a few minutes, Lord, you use me. Lord, I don't want to tear down anything that's built up, Lord, but I sure would like to add to. God, if it be thy will, help me now, I pray, oh God, would you saturate me, Lord, I pray. In the Holy Ghost, I beg, and let me preach in power, God, one more time. Lord, if it be thy will, God, I just want what you want. Thank you, Lord, for this good crowd. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Lord, that my heart's grown to love, I thank you, Lord, for them, and I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, this last night of meeting, God, may you meet with us. Lord, I pray, God, and visit with us. Lord, I pray, help our hearts, God, tonight. Give us something, Lord, one more thing to carry home is my prayer. God, I ask you to be kind to us, I beg. Help our hearts, Lord, and we'll thank you. God, we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. This has been on my heart for about 2 weeks now. And I'll be honest with you, I've never preached from this text before. But God's been dealing with me about it. And that last part of that verse says, "For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." I was thinking as we was around here this morning, and I just want to start out slow tonight and say a few things, but I thought as watched that choir begin to sing this morning, and I've been privileged to watch a lot of them boys and girls grow up, and I've seen them grow, and you have too, and I believe God's a helping them around here, I really do. And I thought to myself, the greatest place they could have been in, it was in here this morning with us, the way things was going, the way God was meeting with us and the worship that was taking place. That's the best thing, Brother Andrew, that they could ever see out of me and you. I thought, Brother Pace, today in the day, it wouldn't, don't seem like, but just a few days ago, I was at the house and Trent and Tyre was coming and spending the night with us after revival and things like that. And we was pillow fighting, just me and my wife and them and the times we had. And now Brother Terry is a granddaddy and time's just moving fast. I thought it wouldn't just a few days ago when I come up here for the first time and Rachel and Jacob was just little bitty kids, and now Jacob's in college and Rachel's about to graduate, and time is swiftly passing by, and I sure do hope that we've laid up something for for them. I really do. And it's on my heart to preach to us tonight as the people of God, parents, and not only parents, but older folks in here, about that very fact of what are we laying up for our children? What are we leaving behind for the children? It wasn't just a few months ago I moved out of the place where I grew up, out of my mom and dad's house, and while we was a packing, while we was a moving, I went to the pup house, and in the pup house is where mom and dad stored a lot of canned goods out there, beans and a salsa and potatoes and things of that nature that mom and dad had put up, and I was looking over them cans and they was dusty, and I got to pulling them out and putting them in a box, and my wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm carrying that with us." She said, "You reckon it's still good?" I said, "I have no doubt it's still good, because it got sealed a long time ago, and the outside of it looked a little dirty, but we rubbed the dust off and washed the outside of the jars and had to crack the top on them green beans, and the pop come ringing out of there and poured them beans into a little old steer and got to eating them, and it tastes just like they did when Mama was cooking them. Mama's gone and Daddy's gone, but I sure am glad that they left behind some things that'll last." This probably won't be real deep tonight. I just really want to tell some stories, preach some stories about my life and my experiences, and maybe I can get us to go ahead and lay up some things for our children that'll last in the future. Amen. I believe with all my heart that my mom and daddy knew God. I believe that. I had a good daddy. I had a good mom, and my daddy loved preaching more than anything. And he loved Brother Pace, and he'd just cry when a man of God got to preaching. He'd just cry and wave his hands. You remember that, Brother Pace? And he'd holler and sick the preacher on. And even before I got saved, my daddy did that. As just a little old boy, Brother Gene Lambert, a pastor in our church and a preacher to us, and Daddy would sit in the pew, and a big old tears would roll down his eyes and drip off his chin, wave his head and say, "Preach, Brother Gene." I didn't understand it then. I didn't have a clue what made Daddy tick. I didn't know why he cried. I thought he was foolish, you know. He couldn't see this God. I couldn't see this God. And I didn't think Daddy could. But I believe he probably could just a little bit. Amen. By faith, and Daddy would just get happy. I remember them mornings waking up to Mama. I thought about Brother Massey talking about his mama. I had a mama like that. He cooked for us, and she'd roll out them flour dough biscuits and sing, "He'll roll me over the tide." I cherish those memories. Mom and Daddy taught me about the Lord. It wouldn't just down at church, Brother Milby. But our house, Daddy, I've heard you say your daddy could pray a hole in the sky. And I think maybe they was related, my daddy and your daddy. I'd hear him behind the barn, and God would get on him. And Daddy would pray and shout behind the barn. And we had a happy home. And Daddy grew up hard, had a hard raise, and had a hard life. And he didn't mind landing on you. He'd get you when you done wrong. But I tell you, Daddy knew something about God. And I didn't want to get saved, and I didn't want Daddy's God until I got in trouble. Amen. But when I got in trouble, I wanted the God that my daddy knew. And I've been telling you, I found him near and dear to my heart. And now I'm a daddy raising two boys and a little girl. And I don't have a lot, and I'm not near as far down the road as some of you are. But I do know this. I have been to Calvary, and I have been by the labor this week, and I'm closer now to the Holy of Holies than I was when I came. And I want to carry some things home and lay them up for my children. Amen. They're going to be grown before I know it.
First time I come here, my wife just had found out that we was going to have a baby some 11 years ago. And now, Brother Kitchens, you know, is growing up. And Isaac's 9 and Caleb's 11. Jaden's 4 years old. And time is just swiftly passing by. And it's going to get by on us if we ain't careful. And they're going to grow up and they're going to be out of the house. And they're going to have to face a world that does not care. They're going to have to face a society that could care less about the God we serve. We can't keep them from it. They're going to see it. One day after a while, they're going to have to be in it. But I sure can say today, Brother Joel, we can teach them about a God that'll keep them through it and help them in it. Amen. Oh, thank God tonight for the privilege to lay up some things for our children. Amen. I appreciate that privilege, don't you? Tonight, and you may not be a parent. I thought about Brother Kitchens, Sister Allison, the prayer request this morning. I've been praying about that sometimes in my secret place. God will remind me of it, and I'll call y'all's names. But y'all spend a lot of time with us down at the house, and my boys crawl over you and play with you and pick on you, and you pick back. I sure do appreciate that. Amen. And I want you to lay up some things for them. I appreciate men of God in this place that's come. Brother Andrew came just a few days ago and preached to my congregation. And I caught him outside one day, racing up and down the parking lot on a scooter with my boys. Somebody said, "That's silly. He's laying up some things for my boys." I appreciate them. We can stand behind the pulpit and tell all our do's and don'ts if we want to, and that's fine. We ought to have some. We ought to live right. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to have to be some times when we earn some people's trust, and that they see us outside of this place, and know that we're made out of the same stuff, and that they are, and we're not just harnessed to a bunch of do's and don'ts, but we're saved by grace and kept by power. We're not living under bondage to a bunch of rules and regulations, but we live for Him because we love Him. I say hallelujah for a God that would save me and keep me and instill some things in me that I can pass on. Amen. You had it right, Brother Bob. You keep on taking them around it, and it'll just be a short season. And it won't be the daughter that's a squealing, but it'll be the boy. And he may not ever shout, but you may hear him in a prayer place somewhere getting a hold of God. There's a lot of different ways to get in the glory. It ain't just about a shout. Sometimes I've soaked my prayer place in tears, but I felt just as much God as when I was a shouting and running around the hayfield. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, lay up some treasures. Thank God put something in the jar that they can hold to when the hard times set in. Amen. Put something in the jar. Brother Mickey's here tonight. One of my deacons, and he went around the other day and he asked my boys, he said, I want to know what your favorite scripture is. And Isaac got saved back in April in the meeting. And he jumped up there and he said, "Mickey, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's Hebrews chapter 2. And we got home and I asked him, I said, why is Hebrews chapter number 2 your favorite scripture? He said, "Well, Daddy, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" I said, "Why you like it so much?" He said, "That's what Brother Chris Sims was a preaching on when God saved me." Thank God you can lay up some things. You can. I'm telling you, friend, tonight there's a God in heaven that's concerned about divine fellowship. A God in heaven that wants to take time to be with you, and you enjoy Him. Him enjoy you. Thank God, walk hand in hand through this world and know without a doubt you're saved. Amen. My daddy lived right as right as anybody I know. But I never heard him one time brag about a dress code. He always dressed right, but I never seen him brag about it. Never one time in service did he stand and say, I'm so glad that I don't wear shorts. I'm so glad that I don't run around naked. I never heard him say that. He didn't have to. He lived it. Amen. But we've lived to see a day, and I get frustrated. I really do, preaching around this country like I have. And I go to these churches, and all I hear is some sister stand up, and all she's got to brag about is a sewing up a slit in her dress. And that's good and fine if God said so. But you told me nothing about loving Jesus. I never heard you say anything about how good He's been. All you've told me is what you've done. We ain't no different than a bunch of Church of Christ hanging on to our words. I'm telling you, before you had anything, God come by and loved you and saved you and kept you. And that's why we rejoice. We don't rejoice in a bunch of works. We're not saved by our works. We're saved unto good works. Live right, do right. But thank God, let the world know you love Him. Amen. Miss Plina Bearden, she was my hero growing up in that little old Methodist church. And I rode a bicycle in the community as just a little boy, right around her house, and I'd see her outside on the porch shelling peas. And she always had a dress on. I didn't understand that, you know. And I wondered what made her tick. But I started going down to church there, a church down there, and she'd get happy. She was hard of hearing. But when God got to moving in the service, you didn't have to touch Brother Sister Plina and say, hey, God's here. And she knew all about it. And she'd get up and sing, I've been awaiting, Lord, to go. And she'd come in on a walker, but shake that walker and shout around the back pew in a Methodist church. I never once heard her say anything about her dress. But every time she testified, she said, He gets better to me every day. He's sweeter today than He was yesterday. I love Him today more than I did yesterday. You know what she is a-doing? She is a-poking the last few beans in the jar, amen, and a-screwing the lid down on what Mom and Daddy was a-filling up for my life. I say hallelujah. Put something in the jar. Put something in the jar tonight. I give something to them that'll last when the storms get to raging and wind gets to blowing. All hell gets to rolling against them. Thank God they'll have something to hold on to in the night time. Whoa! Hallelujah! Mama canned them beans and canned that soup, and I'd watch her wash them jars and get them ready and heat them up. And before she ever put anything, she'd put salt in there. Amen. And I said, Daddy, well, Mama, why y'all do that? And she said, it'll help keep it. And I believe tonight there's some folks around this place that's got some salt in your life. And you're helping me and you're helping my youngins. And I don't want you to lose. Thank God you save her tonight. I really don't. But I feel like in this modern church world that we're so busy trying to be old-timey that we forgot what old-timey is. Old-timey ain't about what you wear, what you dress. I understand that goes along with it. But it ain't what started you out. But being old-timey is this spirit that we've had around here this morning. This spirit that's around here tonight. That's what separates us from just anybody else. The Holy Ghost tonight. I'm glad I know something about the Holy Ghost. Them kids got to singing. We can pray this morning. Y'all got to singing. I'd rather have Jesus. And my eyes got to running, Brother Massey. And I couldn't help it. And I said, Lord God, I wish my kids was here tonight to hear these testify. Hear y'all sing. We need God in this day. We need something in the jar that will last. Amen. Amen. Something in the jar that'll last. Amen. We've lived to see a church world where the works of the flesh are more, works of the flesh are more manifested than the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Ain't that right? I was talking to a preacher. He's got a farm in Haiti or Honduras somewhere down there where he does mission work. And he said, "Preacher, I want you to look at these lemons that I've grown." And he said, "Look how big they are." And he said, "Ain't they pretty?" I said, "Boy, they are. But I guarantee if you cut into it, it's still bitter." Amen. And there's a lot of folks in the church today that look real good on the outside, but they don't sound so good when it starts coming from the inside. Amen. There's got to be something different. There's got to be something else that keeps us. It is the love of Christ that constrains us. And if you don't have it, you'll get lost in this religious world. Amen. My daddy growing up, I can remember him taking me one day and showing me the lines of our property. And daddy had about 66 acres. And so we got down to the end of the road where I used to live out. And he said, "Right here's the corner." And he said, "You walk this down a few hundred yards and you'll find the next corner." He said, "But if you ever have it surveyed, you're going to find out that the corner's just a little bit off." He said, "I was gone to Michigan and worked up there. While I was gone, the landowner next to him built a fence and got off on the corner. Started out right, but got over on the us." And he said, "I ain't going to do nothing about it now. Don't you worry about it." And I said, "Daddy, that's ours. That's yours. You work for it. And you need to do something about that." He said, "Son, I'd rather lose a little bit of land than I had lose my testimony." See, that neighboring landowner was a lost man. And he knew it wasn't going to do no good to get down there and fight and fuss with him. He'd rather just let him have the land. Keep God in his heart. Amen. Keep a sweet spirit. You'd be surprised how many folks in the church tonight carrying around bitter spirits, harboring ill feelings. Amen. They got the outside right, but the inside, they're still a rotted sepulcher full of dead man's bones. Amen. God help me to show my boys something on the inside that causes me to want to pray, seek my Lord. God help me. They ask me sometimes, "Daddy, why you sing like you do?" I say, "I can't help it. Daddy, why, who you are talking to?" I'm talking to my Lord. I'd rather have that, not have no enemies, not have no odds, than I had have everything this world's got. Amen. Amen. God help us to put something in the jar. I'm pastoring now, and God's been a blessing us and helping us. And there's a little old boy in our church. His name's River, and River's mama brings him and his sister to church. River's about 4, 5, 6 years old, somewhere in there. He's not very big, head skint back, you know. And so I was going around shaking hands, and River don't know how to shake hands, or didn't know how to shake hands, and his daddy won't come to church. His daddy's probably lost, you know, and be used to go, but don't go anymore. And this lady will testify about how hard her home life is, and I have no doubt it is. So I was going by River one day, and I stuck out my hand. And River always won't shake left-handed. And I said, "No, buddy, we're going to shake right-handed." And I taught him how to handshake. And now every Sunday he waits on me. One Sunday I was shaking hands and shook hands with his mom, and he was down in the floor playing with his sister. I got to the next pew and I heard him say, "Mama, he forgot all about me." And I turned around and grabbed that little old boy up and set him on the pew and said, "River, I couldn't forget about you." And he stuck that little old right hand down. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody said, "That don't mean nothing. I'm putting something in the jar. I'm letting him know his preacher loves him and is concerned about him. I'm letting him know, thank God, that there's a God in heaven that's concerned about him. And one of these days he's going to need to get saved. And he's going to have to see something out of the church besides a bunch of dead words." Amen. God help us tonight. We've sunk so deep in ritualism in the world today, and we hang our hats on who we associate with and who we don't. But it's amazing, when my daddy was just a little boy, the Baptist and Methodist shouted together and worshiped together. I know there's a dividing line now, and I know some sects has went afar. Some sects has went way, way off, and we ain't just associate with anybody and everybody. But I'm telling you one thing, there ought to be something in common with Christian folks. There ought to be something in common that causes us to want to go a little further, dig a little deeper, and lay up a few more treasures for our children. Miss Margie's here tonight, and she cans and works, and all my ladies do around that church. And she said, "Preacher, I'm working on about 100 jars of green beans." I said, "Margie, you don't need 100 jars of green beans. You and Billy can't eat that many green beans." She said, I know that." She said, "But my kids and grandkids come by, and they love my beans." Amen. You ain't just working on what you got for you. You've got to leave something behind, is what I'm trying to say. I was looking, Brother Andrew, the other day. You was showing me some pictures, and I saw a little nephew and a little niece, I think, of yours. And you probably won't get to spend a lot of time with them on the mission field. But I tell you, every chance I got, I'd go to Virginia with a little old toy or something in my pocket. I'd put them on my lap and say, "Uncle Andrew loves you. There's a God in heaven that cares." I'd lay some things up. There's some things more important tonight. I believe we're not choosing the good part. I really don't think we are. We're going to have to learn again to spend time at His feet and lay up some treasures. Amen. There's a little old girl in Ecuador tonight. I don't know her name, but you do. But you sent me a little old DVD of your time there. As soon as it comes on, Brother Andrew's sitting in front of a little old girl. And this little old girl meant absolutely nothing to me when the picture come on. I didn't know her name. But Brother Andrew's talking to that little old girl and loving on that little girl and telling her about Jesus. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and both of us had big old tears in her eyes. And I found myself praying for that little old girl the other day, asking God to help Brother Andrew lay up something for her. I really did. God help us. This preacher right here has been faithful down through the years. I just go ahead and be honest. If we was honest tonight, he's the reason most of us are here tonight. Ain't that right? We come because God's here. But really, Brother Mib has meant so much to us. We're going to come to this meeting. I'm going to come to this meeting. He knocks my name off the list, makes me sit at the back door. "Brother Place, I'm coming." And I believe you feel the same way. Why do I do that? Because this dear preacher, when I was about 19 years old, stood in a pulpit in Bluntsville, Alabama, preaching to my heart, liberal and loose and rotten. I was already preaching, pastoring a church, but he laid something up for me that night, put something in my heart. I've been open jars ever since then, and it tastes good to me. Woo! You brought me here. Why'd you take time for me the way I did? I wasn't no count. Didn't have nothing in order. My house wasn't right. Didn't halfway live right. You preached to me, Brother Pace, and loved me. Set a few jars in my heart. Said, "Take that home with you." Woo! Hallelujah! For some people that look down the road and say, "We're going to need somebody in the future. And I can't do much, but I tell you one thing. I can open up what they've given me. I can let you taste of it. See that it's good. Maybe, just maybe, I can lay up some for your children." Amen. Come home from a meeting from North Carolina. Drove in late that night, and early in the Saturday morning, and got home. And I woke to that smell Brother Roger was talking about. And I heard my little girl in there. I love my little girl. I can't talk too much about this, Brother Terry. I'll have to go home with you tonight because I'm missing them awful bad. But I come in the kitchen, there's flour all over the floor, all over the table and all over the counter. And I said, what in the world are y'all doing? And Jaden's got the biggest, bluest eyes. And she looked at me and said, Daddy, we're making biscuits. I said, you're making biscuits? She said, making biscuits. And she was trying to roll that dough out like Mama was, like my wife was a teaching her. And they looked terrible. Honest to God, it was the ugliest biscuit I'd ever seen in my life when it come out of the oven. And my wife had rolled some out and they was big and pretty. And Christy said, which one of them you going to eat? I said, which one you think I'm going to eat? And Jaden pushed a few of them off on my plate. And she was grinning and looking at me with them blue eyes. And she said, Daddy, what do they taste like? And I said, honey, they taste just like Mama's. Man, that's pretty good biscuits. Amen. The covenant teaches us to maintain family and secret devotions. I know we walk by that and don't pay any attention. We say we live by it, but really we don't. But I try to get my family around sometimes, Brother Wayne. I read to them and they read to me. Sometimes my wife and them will sing around the floor. My little old girl will scoot right up next to her mom and bow her head. And she don't know all that's going on, but she's imitating us. I want my boys to know how to pray. I was in North Carolina preaching at Landmark Baptist Church for Brother Ronnie Miller, and I was in the prayer room, and my boys was with me. I pretty much start a repetitious prayer. I can't help it. That's just the way I pray. I say, Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to pray. I started out, started to pray, and Isaac scooted up under me. And he said, Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to pray. Now that don't mean anything to you, but I heard the jar seal. Amen. Trying to lay up some things. My oldest boy has not been affected by the gospel yet. He sits in church and just soon rather talk. Mama has to beat on him all the time. He just wants to talk and play and run around. 11 years old, has not been affected yet. My other boy's 9, got saved, testifies all the time. And that just tells you how God works. God works in different times for different people. But I do know this. He's been a volunteer in the reading during devotion. And he's a little slower than Isaac. And he's always has been. He don't excel in school. And I don't ever expect him to grow up to be a brain surgeon. But I had Isaac read another night. And he said, Caleb said, Daddy, I sure would like to try to read. And I said, you go ahead. And he got to reading Genesis 1. And he's saying in the beginning, he said, I'm just going to read just a few verses. And I said, okay. And he kept reading, kept on reading. And he got down to verse 14 and he looked at me and said, Daddy, ain't I doing good? I said, oh boy, you're doing good. And I patted him on the head. Somebody said, that don't have nothing to do with spiritual things. I'm a laying a foundation. I'm a building a trust. Amen, that my boys can come to me in the future when hard times set in. Amen. We spend a whole lot more time at home than we do at church anyway. I was preaching day and night meeting. I was preaching at Pleasant Hill, Brother Terry. And I probably told this year, that's all I've got. It's a bunch of stories, but that's about all I got. But they're my stories. And I want to keep telling them. And I said, I got to cut the grass today. I'd been in meeting for several weeks in a row. I got on that lawnmower and I was flying around through there and watching them boys on the ditch bank. They was playing army men. And they was running up that ditch bank, shooting each other, falling off that ditch bank. And the Holy Ghost said, call them up here and tell them about being saved. I said, Lord, look at my yard. and I'm in meeting, and I ain't got a whole lot of time, and it'll be church time again. He said, you better take time, or you're going to lose them boys. And he said, by the way, I'm the only preacher anyway, and if you won't preach tonight, you'll get off and tell them boys how glad you are to be saved. I said, yes, Lord, and I cut that lawnmower off, and I said, hey, get up here. And boy, they jumped up, and their eyes was that big, they just knew they was fixing to get it, you know. And they come running up there, and they said, well, what'd we do, Daddy? I said, you didn't do anything. Come right here and sit on my leg. And I'm sitting down, and I got one on each leg, and I hugged them up close, and I said, Daddy told you he loves you today. I may ride home with you. Nice grin, said, no, you hadn't. I said, boy, I love y'all. I said, y'all know y'all my best buddies. And they said, boy, we do. I said, Daddy's saved. I just want to let you know Daddy's saved. And one of these days, God's going to deal with your heart. And you ain't going to understand all there is to know about it. And I can't explain all there is to say about it. One of these days, you're going to realize God's dealing with you, and you're going to have to make some choices that day. And I just want to go ahead and tell you, boys, being saved is the greatest choice I ever made. And I hugged him up, and I said, go ahead and go on playing. Amen. Thank the Lord. I come home from this meeting one year, made it almost, I was in Murfreesboro. My kids and my wife was in there. A big old racket, and a transmission just about fell out of the Suburban. And sitting there on the side of the road and didn't know how we was going to get home, what we was going to do, and I was about half mad, you know. I know y'all don't ever get there. I was about half mad. And some folks come got us, and my nephew come got me, put my truck on the trailer, you know, brought me home, said, I hate to tell you this, but I was driving your van while you was gone, and it's tore up too. I said, Lord God, what am I going to do? Didn't have a car to drive. Sunday morning rolled around, didn't have a way to church. And mother and father-in-law, they don't go to church. And I got over there. They come got us and carried us to their house so we'd have a way of going. And I was just sitting on the porch, and I was on the swing looking out across the yard and questioning, you know. Didn't understand. Why and how come and why was all this happening to me? Isaac come bouncing up and across the porch and jumped in my lap, and he said, Daddy, tell me again about being saved. I said, Lord, I'm a dog. Sitting here griping and a fussing, and you have given me this opportunity. Man. And I got to crying on the porch and telling him how good my God is. He's good. I was opening up jars for mom and daddy, but I was sealing jars for him. Ain't that right? My boy got saved, and old time conviction. I'm talking about that Wednesday night, the power of God fell in that place. Brother Kitchens was there. I ain't just making it up. I was watching my little boy on the front row. Hadn't been affected. Seemed like he hadn't been touched. He was asking a lot of questions. 12-year-old girl behind him by the name of Lizzie got under conviction, got the squall, and she was laying on the pew just a boo-hooing out loud. And Isaac turned plumb around in the seat, Brother Pace. I was trying to watch the crowd and trying to deal with sinners, you know, and trying to carry on the altar call and trying to get his attention, you know, to turn around. But God was letting him watch that girl. And when he turned around, there's tears are flowing down his face, dripping off his chin. And he run right there on this side of the altar. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. And he got to praying. Oh, he prayed for a long time. Probably 30, 40, 45 minutes. And I got worried. And I got to feeling like, you know, it's going to be one of them times. You know, he's going to have to seek a long time. Maybe this is just the beginning of it. Sometimes it works like that. Sometimes it don't. And I thought, oh, Lord, he's going to be confused. And he's not going to understand. He's just young anyway. And it kind of got quiet. And we got to singing, only trust him. only trust Him. Y'all remember that, Brother Kitchens? And the holy power of God fell in there, and Brother Kitchens was shouting around, my little old boy, he was screwing the lid down on the jars, what he was doing. And my church was up around him praying for my boy. Wasn't nobody. My little boy was just shaking and trembling. And I said, buddy, you think God's going to save you? And he said, I do, Daddy. And I said, well, when you think He's going to? And he said, right now. And it wasn't just a minute. I heard the lid pop. Y'all can doubt it if you want to, but I've heard Him testify in the power of God since then. Just about every Sunday, He says, pray for Ned and Paul. They're lost. They need God. I'm telling you, it'll work if you'll lay some things up. Thank God that despite all we do and all our efforts, there'll be times when they still go astray. But I guarantee you, just like Brother Henderson's girl, there'll come a day when they come back with the jars in their hand wanting what you got.
Amen. Thank the Lord. What tonight are you laying up? Brother Ted, what are you laying up for them grandkids? Amen. What are you laying up? My daddy made a good living. Worked at Chrysler for about 30 years. And he's been gone 11 or 12 years now. He left Mama some money. She had to live on that. So when Mama died, she didn't leave us kids a whole lot of money. And actually very little money, just hardly any money. But she left us something. They left us something. Money can't buy. A lot of y'all's heard this. Brother Henderson hadn't ever heard it, so I'll tell it to you, Brother Henderson. I was working at Mueller Company before God sent me out full-time evangelism, working at Mueller Company one night on second shift, and call come in. They said, your daddy's had a massive heart attack. If you want to see him alive, you need to get down to the hospital. I was pulling into the hospital, and I heard med flight overhead. They was going to carry him to Birmingham, where we was at. It's just a little old rinky-dink hospital, you know. Going to carry him to Birmingham, and I run through that emergency room door, and I said, where's Verlin Dollar at? And they told me where he's at, and I went in there, and doctors was around, and nurses was around, and I couldn't see him. All I could see was his chest down, and tubes were running out of him, hooked up to all kind of heart monitors. I said, oh, Lord, Daddy, he ain't even going to know me. And I moved them doctors out of the way, Brother Henderson, and I got over Daddy, and Daddy looked up at me, and he smiled. That smile that he did when he told me about the Lord all them days. And he said, son, what a joy it is to have Jesus in your heart at a time like this. I'm talking about the whole bottom of his heart's blowed out. Amen. But that part that was fixed was a holding tight. Man, that's right. He said, son, take care of Mama. Whatever you do, don't quit preaching. Don't quit preaching. Amen. I say, I got a daddy in heaven tonight. Amen. That knew God. Mama lived. She died about 3 years ago. Brain cancer. Y'all all know this. Brother Henderson don't, so I'm going to tell him again. My mama knew the Lord. Raised me right, buddy. Loved me. I was a baby and I was just a little bit spoiled. But that's all right, too. Mama, I was preaching up here and been up here for 2 weeks in Kentucky and meeting. My sister called and said, you better get home. Mama's a dying. Hospice are coming in. I cut the meeting short. I said, I got to go home. Got home there and Mama was sitting up on the side of the bed. And she said, oh, it's so good to see you. We talked till late in the night. I called my sister outside. I said, you call me home from a meeting. Ain't nothing wrong with Mama. And she said, you just don't understand, Michael. Just a few hours ago, she couldn't talk, didn't know her name. She said, but I told her you was a-coming home. And said she got a little better. And I made it out because I was the baby. But really, it was just God wanting me to have just a little bit of time. My mama. I run these roads, preached all these meetings, and didn't get to spend no time when Mama was a-dying, you know, and my sisters and brother took care of her. But God, give me just a little bit of time.
Late one night, everybody's asleep, Brother Henderson. Mama was groaning and moaning, and her eyes was rolling back in her head. I leaned up close and I kissed her on the forehead and I said, "Mama, are you close to home?" And she said, "I'm close." And I said, "Reckon what it's going to be like." And she said, "Oh, wonderful, wonderful." I heard the jar pop. Amen. That's right. All the next day, terrible day. Mama didn't know anybody. Same thing the next night, just late, and everybody's laid out on couches and pillows and pallets. I'm holding Mama's hand. I said, "I won't leave you till you go home, Mama." She said, "Okay." I was just singing to her, "Going home, going home. Yes, I'm going home." Well, I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm headed home. Mama sat straight up in the bed and said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Amen. Now, the doctors tell me that was the morphine talking, but I just kindly doubt it, Brother Milby. Amen.
Yeah,
thank God there does remain a rest for the people of God. I guarantee you, when it comes time to press your dying pillow, there'll be somebody waiting on you. There'll be somebody to hold your hand. There'll be somebody to sit with you. I say hallelujah. I heard the jar seal. That don't mean anything to you, but I've been telling you, all them days of Mama making biscuit, all them songs got to rolling over in my head. Now I realize she was headed to that place that she's longed for so long. She didn't have everything right. I'll just go ahead and tell you, sometimes she didn't hold the light as tight as what I thought she could. But there's one thing about it. There's a God in heaven that loved her and helped her and held her hand. And despite her faults and failures, let her leave some things behind for me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm determined. I'm determined, Brother Pace, to leave my kids something. I am. I don't have hardly anything, and I'm not complaining. God's been good to me. I spent 5 years, almost 6 years in evangelism. Didn't know how in the world I was going to get from one place to the next, but God always come through. I'm amazed at that. I looked in cabinets, and wondered what we was going to eat and go to them again, and they'd have food in them. I don't understand that. That's just God. I've balanced checkbooks and seen a balance that I'm ashamed to tell you. Amen. No money, nothing to buy with, but go to buy groceries and things, and there was always money to buy them with. Amen. That's the God right there. I stopped at the grocery store today. I hope I'm not taking too much time. This is my last time anyway, so I feel like the Lord's helping me. Amen. So I'm going to say all I can right quick. And then sit down. But I pulled into a grocery store and there's an elderly lady standing by her car. She is a crying. And everybody wants a handout today. You know that. But sometimes there is people out there really needs help. And if we was as sensitive to the Holy Ghost as we say we are, we'd know how to discern some spirits. Amen. And I said, "Ma'am, are you all right?" She got to crying. She said, "My husband died a few weeks ago." And she said, "I ain't got any money." And I said, "Well, she's going to ask for money." And I said, "Well, ma'am, what do you need?" She said, I'd like a half a gallon of buttermilk and some bread. And that's all I want. And I said, "How about that?" And I got to going. I said, "I'll be right back." And I got to pushing that buggy down the aisle. And I was going for some milk and some hamburger meat and some bread and eggs. And every time I picked up something for me, the Holy Ghost said, "Get something for her." So if I got a pack of meat, I got her a pack of meat. If I got a loaf of bread, she got a loaf of bread. I got her some sweet milk and buttermilk. Amen. Got out to her car and she said, "Oh Lord, I didn't want all this." She didn't say I didn't need. She said, "I didn't ask for all this." I said, "Ma'am, the Lord said for me to give it to you." And I pulled out a little piece of money, and I don't have a lot of money to give, but I give her what I had. And she cried and said, "Oh, thank you, thank you." And God, in her little old car, she said, "I ain't even got any gas. I'll use this to put gas in my car." And she pulled right to the gas station, and I watched her. Wasn't a line a bit. She needed everything she needed. And I got in the car, and when I turned and looked at the car, I seen my wife turn plumb around in the suburban. And she was looking at them boys and looking at that little girl, and I could tell she was really instructing them. And I got in the car and big old tears is of, and I said, what? What? I said, Lord, the whole time I've been in there, they've been fighting. My boys fight now. They boys. And they lay into one another, but they wasn't fighting. But one of them, Caleb, said, Mama, why in the world is Daddy giving all our groceries away? And she saw the perfect opportunity to put something in the jar. She said, your daddy travels up and down these roads, and God's people has given us everything we got. But place everything we got has come from the people of God. Y'all should let me starve to death. Ain't no count. People in here is giving me money, put money in my pockets. Go home and find checks in the mail. She said, God's people has given us everything we've got. They pay our bills. They buy our groceries. They put gas in this car. And evidently, Daddy wanted to give something back. God's been good, and that's why we're going to give something back. And I heard the jar seal. Am I making any sense? The children ought not lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I got a nephew. He's a good boy. Goes to church. Teaches Sunday school. God's a helping him. My sister's his mama. She's a heathen. Strung out. Shacked up with an old boy. Doing dope. That boy will go to his mama and cry. Tell her how good it is to be saved. He ought not have to do that. I'm glad he does. She had the same mom and daddy I had. But for some reason, she just hadn't started opening the jars yet. I preached to her a few years ago, Brother Kitchens, we was there in that meeting, and God got to dealing with her, and she got an altar and big old tears. Her name's Kathy, if y'all could ever pray and remember her. She called Kathy's name. Prayed and the mascara run just almost from her to the altar. And she raised up and she said, Michael, I'm just not ready to let go. That was about 3 years ago. Something like that, ain't that right, preacher? About 5 years ago, a long time. And I seen her in church one other time, but I didn't see that drawing power on her. And I got real scared, Brother Milby, because I tried to pray and I didn't have no burden. I got scared that maybe she went too far. Got really worried about that. I was shaking hands at the church the other morning. Brother Max looked at me. And I looked up and her and that old boy walked in. And she is a grinning. And she said, you never would have expected to see me. I said, boy, I wouldn't. I said, but sure, I'm glad you're here. Lord put it in my heart that week to preach on Gomer. Ain't that amazing? She's lived the life of Gomer. Well, I got to preaching, church got to shouting around there, and I seen them tears again. She ain't come to the altar, but she'd look at up at that old boy that she shacked up with, and he was wiping tears too and turning away from her. And I said, Lord, you ain't finished yet. Amen. Maybe, just maybe tonight, she's evaluating the cupboard. She's looking at some jars that's been sealed a long time. My daddy's got us around the table. Christmas time, Thanksgiving, not just them times, but I'm talking about special occasions when the kids and grandkids was there. He'd say, son, I want you to pray. Because I was a preacher, you know, he wanted me to pray. I'd say, Daddy, it'd be an honor, but I sure would like to hear you pray. And Daddy'd say, okay. About the time that his chin hit his chest, his lips was done quivering. And boy, he'd get to praying. And sometimes Thanksgiving dinner was cold. Sometimes it was a little postponed, but oh, I heard some jars seal in those days. Y'all ever have any times like that? Brother Ben told me today with a big old smiley face that you're going to be a granddaddy. Sister, I asked you about it and you just grinned. She ain't here yet, or he ain't here yet, whatever it is, won't be here till April, but I'd start canning. I'd start canning.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, don't you
I want to lay some things up tonight. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for letting me preach with you.